It ain't long. It ain't long. But just go ahead and introduce. Tell the world who you are.
For sure. So I'm Richmond George, or Rich, as my loved ones call me. Born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. 40 years old, you know, I'm not as old as, you know, Ray or any of my other friends. They're well into their 40s. I just turned 40.
But he got a birthday, though. Literally less than a month away. Like, less than a month, bro.
The birthday hasn't come. So I just turned 40 still. But born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, man. Came from a two-parent household with 8 siblings, you know.
Damn.
Ages ranging from 65 all the way down to 36.
Oh, man.
So I have a very wide range of ages in my sibling group, which has lended itself towards a wealth of experience. So there are 9 of us. I'm the 8th born. There's only one younger than me. It's my younger sister. She's 36. And that's just that, I believe, in and of itself has been a huge shape on my experience, my life. As a man, you know, my goals, how I've seen myself. So that's been one of the biggest shapers of my life, is my siblings. Like I said, I came from a two-parent household. Things weren't always pretty growing up.
Of course.
You know, I've seen and been exposed to a lot. Born and raised right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Married to a beautiful wife, Tiffany George.
Shout out, Tiff.
Shout out, Tiff. You know, that's my boo. I have 3 beautiful children. Age 9 is about to be 10. It'll be 10 August 4th. A 3-year-old daughter and a son that'll be 2 November 7th. So 2 boys and my baby girl, my yes. only baby girl.
Yes.
Any dads out there, y'all know how you feel about that baby girl, man. So
I can't even imagine, man.
I've been exposed. I guess you say I raised in church.
Yes.
But have sort of a unique journey as far as that's concerned. But I've always been a compassionate person. I've always been compelled to care for others.
Yes.
Could be because I come from such a huge family. You know, I talked about the 8 brothers and sisters. But then I've got a whole host of nieces and nephews that are just as old as me as well.
Man,
right? So
it's a lot.
I grew up basically taking care of babysitting my nieces and nephews. You know a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
And they were age range from 37 all the way down.
It's a big family, y'all. Yeah. They huge, man.
It's huge. I got like 35 nieces and nephews. And even some of them have kids now, so. I've just always been compelled to care for other people. And being a black man, coming from a strong Southern black family, and the history of black people in the South, and what I was taught by my father, my grandfather, my grandmothers, my mother, about our history here yes. as a people, and how men should be, you know. When we're young, as men, we're introduced to manhood early, I believe.
Yes.
We're introduced to the idea of sucking it up.
Yes.
You know, yeah. moving on. It's almost desensitizes you.
Yes.
As you're growing up, right?
Yes.
And I've always wondered why we don't have an outlet for ourselves. Why don't we have an outlet to express ourselves? And I see black men and the struggle that we've had throughout this country, the target that we've had on our backs, issues we face even today.
Yes.
And that's what led me, you know, to help and inspire men, man. And you know, we share a like mind as far as that's concerned. So, you know, we rap about that, man, and the rest is history. But
man, I can remember, bro, years ago, and y'all, this episode, a lot of it is, of course, it's about bridging, it's about connection, and a lot of it is about our journey and our path to helping inspire me and how we got here. You know, we met years before, and we've been friends for a long time, and so we both had an idea of a men's group to pull together black men, and we joined together and formed. But it was so funny, bro. I can remember when, because he used to have dreads. Y'all. He ain't got no hair. We both like on a struggle mode with hair is concerned. That's a whole other topic. But
everybody forced me to let my hair go.
But y'all, this man had dreads down his back, like long, long dreads. And after he cut them off, I think we life happened and we disconnected for a while for no apparent reasons, and we ran into each other in Target. I don't know if you remember that
day. I do.
And I knew, I felt that day that we would be destined to do some purpose work together that day. And whatever that was, and as he started back coming to the shop, cutting his hair, and that's how, you know, this really began. And this is like going on like a 5-year journey that we've been planning, helping inspire men and getting there. But before we even get to helping inspire men, how did you get here? How did you get here as a life coach? How did you get here to even wanting to start an organization for black men?
So like I said, I've always been the type that was compelled to care about other people. If I see need, there's a level of empathy in me that wants to reach out, that wants to help. It's just always been that way. That's all I've ever known. My mother would tell me stories about myself as a young kid before I had any memories, and that I just would naturally be concerned about other people.
Yes.
And wanting to care for other people. Seeing people hurt is not something that I'm particularly good at.
Yeah.
So it's something that's just been natural in me, right? And like I mentioned, I come from strong, strong family, right? So the history, the black history in my family has been ingrained in me. Like, black men have been struggling for a long time, and black women.
Yes.
Like my grandfather,
man,
the highest level of education he received was 8th grade, right? So what did he do? He kept going to the 8th grade over and over and over and over again until one day laws were passed and he could move on and get a high school education.
Man.
And wow. He learned all that they could teach in 8th grade so well, he ended up teaching kindergarten through 8th grade.
Wow.
So, and they instilled that same level of determination in my father. You know, my father grew up seeing my granddad face off with the Klan. You know, my father had his own issues when it came to racism. So we've always had to, and you can't show any emotion in that type of situation.
Yes.
So there was always a level of be cool.
Yeah.
Don't show that you're angry right now, or, you know, don't show that you're hurting right now. You have to be strong. And I think that's where it started, passed down to me.
Mm-hmm.
To be strong. Don't cry all the time, boy. What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
but I'm hurting. You know what I mean?
So even with you saying that and you talking about being strong, bro, and all those things, I have to ask, because this is a show for misfits. And I know you have things that's unique about you that allows you, or that has you, to stick out from the crowd. And what are those things, and what are ways and things that make you a misfit, that makes you fit to be a misfit?
What makes me a misfit?
If you are a misfit at all.
Nah. I think that I am a misfit. You know, I think it's it's always been my mind. I'm going to challenge anything.
Yes.
You can't just come and tell me, you know, hey, the sky is red.
Yes.
Well, I need to see if the sky is red myself. Like, you can't just come and tell me anything. I'm going to question anything that a person brings to me. And that doesn't always work well with authority, right?
No.
That doesn't work well with people who say, this is how it is. This is the way it needs to be. This is how it's going to go. Well, why is it going to go like that? Why don't we do it this way?
Yes.
Maybe there's a better way to think about doing things. So I question authority so much, and that always makes me stick out, makes me a misfit, right? I'm not just going with status quo or with, you know, what somebody else says is, you know, the path that I should take, or I don't always take the beaten path, I should say.
Yeah, and just that right there alone, brother, I know that is probably one of the most central pieces of our connection. Both of us are humans who ask questions, and we don't stop at status quo. We go beyond. No, man, we need to dig a little deeper, see what this is,
sure.
see what comes of this. And I can remember, bro, like us starting Helping Inspire Men. Shout out to Helping Inspire Men. Shout out to the board. What's up, all y'all, man? The youth, everybody. And we gonna get into all that in this conversation. But I wanna go here for a second, Richmond, because I said Richmond. Oh, we really doing a formal interview.
Right. Man, I was calling Richmond since I've known you.
Right. So, bro, I really want to talk about this, bro. I remember before we started the organization, man, I was so afraid to tell you that I was a queer man. Like, I was right. So afraid, bro. And I can remember we had discussed it, we had talked about it, and I remember, like, because I made a pact with myself that I would not allow myself to get, you know, brotherly close to anybody else unless they know who I am fully.
Right.
And so I was so shy. I was so, like, shame. I had to, shame came up. Everything came up that you deal with when you're getting ready to tell someone that you are queer. Because there's another brother. And, you know, this is my brother. We've been friends for years, but I had never had a formal conversation with him. But I can remember we was at the cigar bar, and I was you know, was acting normal, but bro, I was like nervous as hell, and
that man was not acting normal. I could tell. I could tell that something was going on. Something was coming.
So yeah, and it was something coming, right? You know, I thought I was acting normal, but he know me, you know, and he knew, you know, okay, something was up. And I remember telling you, man, just your response, man, like it wasn't at all, man. We need to kind of hold off because I don't need to do this with queer, man. This is just something, man, bro. Like, it was an honor. Like, bro, I got you, man. And just if we can go back to that moment for a minute, man, what were you thinking, if anything, when I told you, bro?
Well, first and foremost, I was concerned. Because I don't think that you realize, like, I could see how much pressure was on you. I could see something was weighing heavily on you because you kept telling me over and over again, I'll never forget, I just want to be seen as, like, I'm worth just as much as you, you know, like, I'm a man too, you know, I'm a man, you know, I'm just as valid, you know, I'm worth just as much. You know, and like you were sweating, you were on the verge of tears. Man. I don't think you know all that. So what I was telling you earlier about me being compelled to care, you know, in that moment, I'm empathizing.
Yes.
I'm reading, I can see that something is clearly wrong. This is my brother. He's been my brother for a long time. You know, whatever it is that he's about to tell me, first of all, it's probably not even, it's nothing that, you know, unless you was gonna tell me where some bodies was hidden.
Yeah.
I was like, there's nothing here that he could say, you know, that's going to make me turn my back on him, make me want to distance myself. it was never gonna be that, you know, and I just knew in that moment I needed to be open, I needed to be, you know, a brother, I needed to be a friend, you know, and not do what a lot of people do and push folks away. You know what I'm saying?
And that, bro, that meant so much to me, and it means so much to me. And I think it propelled our friendship and our bond even closer because we.
Can I also say one more thing?
Say what you need to say.
The other thing that I was feeling too is after you came out and told me, you know, this is what it is, Richard, I was really pissed off.
Okay.
Not at you, but I was pissed off at the fact that we live in a world where you have to be that stressed.
Man.
I mean, clearly in distress. Like on the verge of passing out distressed just to express who you are.
Man.
That pissed me off. Like the circumstances, the institutions that we're not gonna get into today. The circumstances and institutions that have driven the narrative that, you know, you're less than because of who you are. I was also pissed off at that in that moment.
Man, bro. That also means a lot, and it says a lot with where we are as a community. And well, I know we can go off into deep dive into a lot of different sub conversations in this, but just in that moment, you know, I appreciate you for processing and allowing yourself to really see me as a man. And for everybody who's watching, man, just to see, like, this is genuine brotherhood relationship. Now, I don't want you, nigga. Yo, no. So, seriously, really, real talk. And I know we joking right now, but I know a lot of people. It's hard to get an understanding as to how, like, we can be close in brotherhood. But, like, I always say, you know, the world needs to see a lot of things. Y'all, this is genuine, bro. This is my brother. This is my friend. And he got my back just as well and hard as I have his, man. And I'm just so happy that we started this organization. We had a lot of high hopes, bro, starting here.
Brother.
Man. Oh my God, we had so many high hopes, bro. Started helping us vibe, man.
We about to go to the moon, baby. You hear me?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and you know, also on the brotherhood tip, man. Like, you know what it is, man. Like,
yeah.
I need you to be 100% yourself.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, faking it real.
100%.
You know, 100%. So,
and I knew, but we could not. I knew that we had reached the pinnacle of where we could go, and we decided to go into building a nonprofit together, man. We got to know each other. We had to know one another, man. So it was so pivotal. And to your point, it's really sad that had to be something that I felt that I had to give energy to be discussed like that, bro. Like, bro, like that was nothing. But because we, and I shout out to a really, really good friend of mine as well. He told me, he said, Raymond, sometimes we have walls in our mind that are higher than the actual wall.
Right.
And so I feel like that was one of those walls in my head that was higher than the actual wall, bro. And it was like, man, it wasn't even a wall there,
right.
You know. But I had this big wall in my head because I just knew, you know, because I was being so used to rejection, being so used to abandonment, man.
Right.
It's like, yeah, man, just let me, you know, get over this hurdle. And we create these things in our own heads, man.
We do.
Because you all already be knowing. Y'all be knowing what's up, you know. For real, you know what's up. And a lot of times, you know, we create these barriers and these walls. But with Heaven Inspired Men, bro, I think we really, when we started out up until now, you know, we did focus groups in the beginning with different age ranges. And we just kind of went in. And over the past couple of years, we had the idea. We had the grandiose idea of trying to have the audacity to bring all black men together, regardless of sexual identity, regardless of age, regardless of
financial status.
Yeah, marital status, those things, bro. Yeah. We thought, yeah, we finna just break everybody together.
Yeah. And just just focus on the commonality of us being black men.
Yes.
I think we got a little fooled by our own friendship.
Man. Yeah. Unfortunate. We did.
You know, because everybody just isn't ready. I've had people pull me to the side and be like, you know, are you cool with this for real? Like, you know how people look at you and whatnot. Fuck people think.
Real talk.
Because, I mean, I know who I am. You know, I talk to my wife about it, and I'm like, you know, folk pull me to the side and ask, you know, are you cool with this? You know, people look at you a certain way too. And she said the same thing. Fuck what people think. Who gives a shit about what people think? But most of the barriers, like you mentioned, are in our heads.
Yes. Yes.
We have really and truly lost the fact that we are all black men.
Yes.
Like it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, the things that make us different.
Yes.
Those things do matter, and we want to celebrate those differences, but we also want to uphold our commonality.
Yes.
You know, which is the foundation of community.
Yes.
But we're so focused on what makes us different.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that because everybody is unique and everybody wants to throw themselves into what makes them unique. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, and the things that make you different make you unique. But what makes us common also is unique.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I think we just drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit that we can get folks to be like, hey man, yo, look, you right. We are all black. We are right.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody isn't necessarily ready.
And it was challenging even when, and we're still going strong with the organization. Our focus is youth and young men now, but and that's not to say that we're done with adult men, but we did recognize we needed to step back and kind of take a look at how we were doing things and what was going on, man. And even on with the queer men, like it came, you know, they would come to me on the side like, Raymond, I just don't feel 100% comfortable with sharing all of me in a space with heterosexual men. And that was a thing, y'all. Like, really? and we, like I said, we I think we got fooled with our friendship, our brotherhood, and looking at the big picture. Y'all, it's a struggle for all the men who are watching this now. Y'all, it was really a struggle for us to successfully build an organization with all black men, even religious pieces, even I would say for pastors and any leaders or anything, we don't have any kind of big money backing us. We wouldn't let anybody coming into space preaching to nobody. We wouldn't let nobody coming into space evangelizing. Man, this was, you had to sit every hat that you wore at the door and literally come into space as a black man.
Right.
As a black man. And
even financial status.
Even financial status.
I've invited some very well-to-do brothers that really just don't want to be in the space for certain folks.
Real talk.
And I'm just like, damn, for real.
Mm-hmm.
We really moving like this out here right now.
We moving like this.
So we just have a lot of differences. And those differences are what we are hyper-focused on.
Yes.
But when it comes to survival and when it comes to thriving as a group, the community, the commonality becomes what's most important.
Yes.
And yes. That's why I mentioned like my father,
yes,
my grandfather earlier, because they were motivated,
mm-hmm,
by that one commonality that we all share.
Yes.
You know, I'm a black man. I have to be successful. I have to drive hard. I have to do all these things simply because I'm a black man.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But I think we're a little bit more comfortable these days too.
So. Yes. Yes. And to add to what you're saying, because when you build bridges and build connection, like you have to take time and interest into your brother just for being a brother. And I feel like even the men that participate today and the men who come, like all of them, I will say, Rich, they took the time to, you know, get to know brothers on a brother level. You know, they didn't come with their bias. Like, you had to literally sit down what you felt about the next type of man, or if we didn't share the same religion, or if you got a CEO job and I work at the plant. Like the men that come and that's a part of it even now to this day, I think we went the extra mile of humbling ourselves, sitting our ego to the side, and really getting to know the brother for who he is. And now, hell, we laugh at our differences. You know what I'm saying? And it's more of the commonality. How are we going to bring this thing together? Right. How are we going to bring this community together on a level that, shit, we all see each other and understand we all got somebody. You got power to do what you need to do to make this community go forward.
Exactly. And I realize that it's a long-term plan.
Yes.
It's long-term work that will outlive us.
Yes.
Because it's taken us a long time to get in this position.
Yes.
Right? So, it's work that has to be committed to and done. And like you said, that humility is so real to actually just one by one, one person at a time, to bridge those gaps, you know? It takes time to build a bridge.
Yes.
You know, you have to build a bridge from yourself to a person, and in building that bridge, gaining trust with that person, then you can build a bridge between that person and somebody else. But you would have had to have a bridge with everybody that you're trying to build a bridge with.
Yes.
You have to have a bridge built with them too.
Yes.
And it just takes time to build those relationships, to build that trust, to build that goodwill with people in order to make those kind of moves, man. So I'm just glad we haven't stopped.
I know we've been discouraged
at times, but yes, I'm glad we haven't stopped, and we just keep on moving.
And you said some key pieces, and Rich and I, we head this organization, and we've recognized, you know, the differences in us. Like Rich make me slow down all the time, and I'm pulling him to speed up, and he pulling me to slow down. But I think that tug of war really makes a balance of leadership and where we are with the vision as well as the planning. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so happy and thankful that we can be here, and even shifting to, I think at the end of 23, we decided to shift our focus a little bit for youth. And Rich, this has really been like, man, life changing just to see. I'm gonna just go ahead and throw it out there, man. Like to see young men, like, I think, and we appreciate the adult men. Like I said, we have not given up on the adult men, the coaching with the adult men, and us folks in the space on adult men. However, with the young men though, like, it's such a need and a desire from them to want to do better, want to be better, want to learn, man. And I think for me, that drives me even harder to go. Like they beat us there sometimes. You know what I'm saying? They beat us to the door sometimes, trying to get in, trying to get started in the space, man. So I love it, man. I want to hear your thoughts on just us, you know, coaching the young men now, man.
Man, I got such a heart for the young men, because I remember being young. I remember being young, full of questions, and feeling like I needed to have all the answers without asking. So with that being said, I see the same thing in these young men, and I want to help them. You know, I want to give them the answers to the test. Yes. I want to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, go this way. I want us to do activities, expose them to things they haven't necessarily seen, places they haven't been.
Yes.
I want them to know that there is a world wider than the one that they are used to.
Yes.
Wider than the world that they know. And I'm just passionate about it, because I see their eyes light up. I see how much it means to them. And that just makes me want to go hard for them, man. And it's just beautiful to see and to watch and to see them be excited, to hear them, you know, basically say back to us some of the things that we say to them.
Yes.
You know, or for them to go home and talk to their parents about it, you know, and their parents, you know, the messages we get from parents about how much what we're doing means to their sons. So it's just been special.
It has, man. Yeah. It really has, Rich. And just for us to be in a position like a lot of these young men that we coach and we foster, man, they don't have, you know, a lot of them don't have the fathers in the home, and so that they have father figures. And so we just add to that, and we're not trying to take anybody's place. We're not trying to, you know, take over anybody or impose on anybody, but we do believe in just that exposure and experience. And even now, how we break them off into the small groups, because we realize like certain boys are exposed to certain things and certain are not. And stuff, the lifestyles that their parents live is very apparent in the sessions. And to kind of break off in smaller groups to kind of get into the nuance of some of their stories, man, I think we learn so much more doing that, man. I'm glad we do that, bro.
Right. And it's heavy.
Yes.
Sometimes we hear things from some of the young men and it just blows my mind that they're in the situation they're in. And yeah, my immediate thought pattern of being a trauma-informed coach comes out, and I'm like, we really need to be out of this situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you need to be physically removed from this situation to be put somewhere else. So I think the thing, you know, we've been working on is resources for some of these young men.
Yes.
And we've been able to do some things that have been positive reinforcements for them as well.
Yes. And just to see the level of sacrifice from us and the men, and even we have a big donor, and she is amazing. And yes, we decided to we're building a mentor.
Shout out to you. We, I don't know if we're supposed to say your name or not, but you know,
Quaisha, I ain't Quaisha.
Quaisha. Quaisha.
Shout out to Quaisha. And we decided to we're developing a mentor program, and we're gonna do it in her honor, in her name. And but outside of that, no, she blessed us a couple of years ago now with that. But man, overall, man, this come out of our pockets. The sacrifice, the money we spend, the things we do, you know, and we are just getting to the point where we will start applying for grants and stuff. But y'all, like, just the sacrifice that we put into this, the blood, the sweat, I said blood, sweat, the blood, sweat, and tears we put into the sacrifice we put into making sure that these young men like have something to come to, you know, have something to go to, to be able to have fun and be themselves in the space, man. It's priceless, bro.
Right.
It's priceless. So man, with your coaching, man, I want you to talk a little bit about just the lane you want to go down with coaching. And who you specifically, if you have a target audience or who you would want to, I know you didn't even expect this question, but who
here we go.
Yeah, who would your target come, audience
come
be?
Right, put
that's what I do. Come on.
So my target audience for coaching definitely is going to be husbands and fathers.
That's good.
As far as men are concerned, you know, I relate to husbands and fathers the most because I'm a husband and father. I know the unique pressures that come along with being the head of a household, especially in today's climate and environment when you have so many rampant ideologies about what it is to be a man.
Yes.
You know, how you should run a household. I hear a bunch of weak shit all day long about what it is to be a husband and father. So definitely husbands, fathers, and men, especially younger men, you know, in their 20s that are aspiring to be husbands and fathers, you know, that are serious about uplifting themselves to put themselves in position for that one day. So that's really my target demographic, man, because I think there's a lost art when it comes to being a husband and a father.
Yes.
I don't think men really know how important they are as a husband and a father. You know, I liken being a husband and a father to gravity.
Man. Like
you are that's gravity good, of that's your good. Home.
That's good.
You know, if gravity went away right now, everything would go flying all over the place, man. Right? We are gravity. We hold everything together.
And I want to piggyback to you, even you know, you as a husband and father, and myself as a man, and being like in position. I think men, we are problem solvers. We want to get it done. You know, men, we're driven to get it done. You know, we're driven. Okay, what's going on? How can we fix it? What's happening? Because we're so used to getting it done. So I definitely agree with the gravity piece. And we, a lot of times, and most times, we are foundational. You know, we are foundational when it comes down to, you know, and it's a lot we don't have. Shout out to all the women. We are not chauvinists or anything, but just looking at the importance of where men should be and how we show up, man, it's so important, man. And, you know, and a lot of times, it's been times where I have mentored young men, and in their hardest moments of distress, man, they calling me. They ain't even calling their dad, man. You know, and I think you and I equally, man. I don't have a lot of grace for deadbeats, man. You know, I do in a sense that, okay, I know you got a story and we need to make room to hear you, but man, the work that we do, man, and the sacrifices that we make, man, for the fatherless young men, bro. Cause I didn't grow up with a father.
Right.
You know, and Rich did, you know, but the work that we collectively do for these young men, man, is priceless. And to see that manhood matters. Like, I got a episode coming up later with one of the young men that comes to the organization. He need us, man, on a fatherly level, man, so hard. And you and I just had a conversation yesterday about this young man and just where he is, man. And I think that it's just essential that men step up. Cause we need mentors, man. And yes. We need y'all, bro. We need y'all, yes. Man, for real.
Boys need men.
Yes.
You know, there's a level of connection that comes there. The way we talk, the way we walk.
Yes.
And we share the same experiences.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And this is not to deny the importance of mothers,
no.
Wives. Listen, I had two strong grandmothers, a strong, beautiful mother, and five strong, beautiful, successful sisters. So I know very well the importance of
yes.
Women.
Yes.
And love women.
I love
when it comes to when it comes to
I do.
First of all,
bro, I do.
I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah.
We're not even gonna get into it.
We're not gonna get into it.
Raymond be the never mind.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break his focus, man.
Yes, he did.
Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
This is your podcast.
We can say what the hell we want
Raymond
to say.
Like women, you know.
On this podcast.
Raymond like women.
Don't
get it.
No.
All right.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
But no. Men are important in the lives of young men.
Yes.
I read a book by Jason Wilson. I'm losing the title of it right now, but maybe you can put it like in the caption or a link to it. It's not Battle Cry, but it's
the I literally got it upstairs.
It's the one before Battle Cry. But he talks about the fact that boys need a man to basically tell them when they become a man.
Yes.
They need that validation.
Yes.
You know, if you're fatherless, you're going to look for a father figure.
Yes.
You're going to look for a father figure to basically validate you as a man. When you are young, every man I know and even myself thought, well, how do I know when I become a man? You know, when will I cross that threshold? You know, how do I'm an adult in age, but you know, what is it that I can do specifically to show that, you know, I'm a man?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So the work that we're doing with these young men, and what I want to do with you know, older young men in their 20s and husbands and fathers, man, is basically show them their value.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not talking about that silly shit y'all hear in podcasts, like I'm the prize. You know, shit y'all hear on relationship podcasts all the time.
I'm the prize. Bow down to me.
Really, exactly. Understandable. First of all, are you worthy of somebody actually following you?
Man.
You know, when I'm gone, my wife will tell me, I feel your absence. Because I'm active in my household. You know, it's not, she's gonna take care of the kids, she's gonna cook, she's gonna clean, and I'm just gonna pay the bills. No, I'm active. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm taking care of the kids. I wanna know everything that's going on with them. I wanna be involved in everything. You know, that's who I am. And I think that's an important thing for fathers to be that invested in their children's lives. I think it's important for mentors to be that invested in their mentees' lives. You know, if they're fatherless, like you need somebody to show that they care about you.
Yes.
And that takes an investment. That takes involvement, you know. And you can only be invested and involved if you actually really care.
Yes.
So that's really my passion. Is the activity, you know, how active you are.
It's the doing.
You
know,
your character.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Like, should somebody model themselves after you?
Man.
Like, really? Should somebody model themselves after you? Or are you just bullshitting on that?
Yeah.
Are you really who you say you are?
Man.
You know, or, I mean, we don't believe you need more people. Like, I'm just saying, I'm rambling. I'm going off the
deep end. I know this is a soapbox for both of us, man. And right. if you could do, and this is a question I'm asking everybody on the podcast, if you could do one thing to, as we close out, if you could do one thing to bridge humans, what would that be?
I would connect older men with younger men.
Wow. Man, that's good.
I would connect older men with younger men. Not so much because only the young men need the wisdom of the older men, but the older men need the vigor of the youth.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
All older men need to be exposed to those ideas and be open to what it is that the youth has to say.
Yes.
Like Andre 3000 said, look, he said the South got something to say, the youth got something to say.
Oh man, they got something to say.
They got something to say. They're not stupid.
No.
They're not stupid. They're not all innocent. You know, they know a lot more than we think they know.
Yes.
They've been exposed to a lot more than we were probably exposed to when we were younger. So I would bridge older men and younger men.
Yes.
You know, not just 20s and 50s, but like, you know, all age spans.
Yes.
You know, because I think just that interaction, that exchange of ideas, that exchange of energy, man, that can be powerful if everybody's open to it and everybody's focused on commonality. You can really build a community there.
Yes.
A community that can be beneficial for all involved.
Yes. And man, I truly, this has been an honor to have you, bro. And this will not be our last time seeing this.
He's gonna
be with me a lot. I want him to be on this podcast a lot with me. We have a lot of.
I'm pulling up, bro.
And we have a lot of interesting conversations. And there's a couple conversations coming up that we're going to have. All of this is about connection, man. Connecting our community. I think that you and I, we share this passion so, bro, we think about it in our sleep. Like, we think of ways and ideals that we can connect the Black community as a whole, and not only the Black community, but get into a space where we can connect with everybody else, you know, and connect with the world, man, because the world needs to see it, man. And I'm just so thankful that I got my brother here with me. I'm so thankful that I had y'all here with me on this episode, and this has been a great episode, man. I love you, brother. Thank you, bro. And we looking up. We looking forward to more, man. So thank y'all for watching. This has been Ray Bridging Humans. Listen, the world needs to see you. Love your family. Peace. Ah, yes. God, that was good, bro. That was good.
Yeah, man.